from now, we'll hand out the book on the second series of The Life of David Continued. We finished up the first there at the end of November, first part of December, and so we'll pick up again with The Life of David. But I want to talk more about the family and the home and look at some more things there. If you have a Bible memory verse, please let me know. Don't want to skip you. If you came with a Bible memory verse in mind and you want to say it, I don't want to leave you out. But we will. Yes, ma'am. Flesh. Amen. 1 John 1. That was several verses there. Praise the Lord. All right. Anybody else have a Bible memory? We'll get that going regularly when we get our books in a few weeks. But if you have one today, let me know. All right. Well, I've got something for Janie, and I'm going to do it now because if I don't do it now, I'll forget. And there is a couple Lindors in here. I don't think I've stolen them all yet. And you can give that back to me when you're done rifling through. Just make sure Delmer doesn't take one and steal one from you. All right. Let's go in our Bibles to Proverbs 15:6, and then we'll go to Ephesians 4 and Deuteronomy 6. Kind of go a little bit around the horn here. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15 and verse 6. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. I want to talk to you some more about the importance of having your own Bible time at home with your family. In the house of the righteous is much treasure. Look with me over in Ephesians chapter 4. I want to show you a list of things here. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, 31. 32. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption, that all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It says back in verse 26, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. I think it's important as a family that you don't go to bed angry with each other. And no matter who, husband and wife, children, that you're right with each other. I want to talk today about the importance of having your own personal family time in the Word of God. Who's in charge of your children? Who is responsible for your children? Is it the teacher at the school? If they don't get a good education, it's the teacher's fault. That's what the world state religion wants you to think. They want you to think how necessary they are. Let me tell you something. God didn't invent public school. All right, God invented the home, all right? And education is from the home, all right? And every child should be homeschooled, and I don't mean you can't go to a school. I mean every child should get their major education from home because the parents are the ones that are supposed to be in charge. And so if your child is acting up, it's not the responsibility of a school official to fix it. It's not the responsibility of the deputy sheriff to fix it. It's not the responsibility of the pastor or Sunday school to fix it. It's your responsibility as parents, and so it's important that we educate our children from the home, that we understand the importance of us. All we're doing, if you use a school, if you have a school that you take your kids to, that's a tool. But that's not it. That's just a tool. Sunday school, that's a tool. Church, that's a tool. Pastors, those are a great help. Teachers, great help. The sheriff's department, they can be a great help. But that's not who it is that's responsible for our children. It's us. And so, how many of us want bitterness, verse 31, in our home? Wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. We don't want these things in our home. Those are not things we want. We don't want to see those things. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. The three things we ought to have is to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, verse 32, and forgiving one another. Those are the three things that we need to have in our home. And if it's in our home, it will teach us how to behave towards others as well. Those are things that we should desire. We should want those in our family, in our home. And when we go to bed, not in communication, I would say this, when we go to bed in separate times, you know, somebody's staying up late watching something, or it's just, we're not connected. You say, why are you talking about this? Because the Bible tells us, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. You've heard me say it before, but maybe you read it in Genesis chapter number 1 this week. In Genesis chapter number 1, it says, And God created, and God said, let there be light, and God said, and then it says, in evening and morning were the first day. Did you notice that? Evening and morning. You know when your day starts, according to the Bible? It starts in the evening. Evening is where the day starts. Evening and morning were the first day. Look at it in Genesis chapter 1. I think it starts in verse 5, goes all the way to the end of the chapter. Evening and morning were the second day. Evening and morning were the third day. And so our days should start at night. And what happens is we stay up too late. Right, Craig? We stay up too late. And we have a bad habit of the kids staying up too late. That's a bad deal, all right? It's wrong. And we need to make sure that... Now, when I was a teenager, I used to have these sleepover, all-night activities. And I'm not saying it's wrong if you do some occasional all-night activity, but I'll be honest, it's not normal, it's not natural. I used to work an overnight shift. It's lousy. It's awful. We weren't made to be up at night. And in the old days, of course, on the farm, when the sun went down, most everybody else did too. And with electronics, we stay up a lot later. And it robs us of our sleep. It robs us of our time together. I want to encourage you to have a time. Now, if you work shift work, and maybe it's not going to work out for you to all get together in the morning and read your Bible, maybe it works out for you to read your Bible in the evening. The point is if you start your day in the evening, that's a good way to start. And you're talking to each other about the things of God, the Word of God, what it has to say. This is our job. You say, where do you get that from? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 6 tells us what I just told you. It tells us who's responsible. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I have commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart. And then it says, verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Who's supposed to teach their children? Themselves, the parents. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So you get the impression that parents are supposed to hang around their kids. The world system wants you to drop your kids off with somebody else. And you don't walk around with them during the day. You don't talk to them the day. You kind of barely see them as they rush out the door in the morning, and you might hear them stumbling at night. That's the world. And the world has proven how good of a job they do. That's not how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to. In the old days, you farmed with your father. You worked with your mother. It was alongside, and we should appreciate if we are given the opportunity to do that. Talk with them, sit us in that house, walk us by the way. And so we should take time. Every day there should be some time where we take, and it doesn't have to be long, but it needs to be some time that we take. Now, obviously, I think, as we've taught before, the man is the head of the home. He's the responsible party, as we talked about last week, provoking our children to wrath. Joshua 24:15 said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He didn't say, I'm going to go home and see if everybody's okay with it. He just said, we will do this as a leader, as the husband. And he's the responsible party. And so some people call it a family altar. A family altar. What that means is, the altar, a place where you worship God, the Old Testament idea of an altar of sacrifice. But a family time together. And when our children were younger and they were all... our lives were much simpler because they were all in grade school. We had a family time, and we used it for several different things. For one, we would at home, because even though you might not think it now, we had fidgety, not sitting still very well kids, just like everybody else does. And so at home, we would have church at home. We would park on the couch. All little four kids, and however many of us would fit on the couch or in the chair or whatever, and we'd call it church. And we might sing a song, and, a merry heart doeth good. And we'd sing a simple song that they all can remember the tune, and we'd practice church. Now, we didn't do it for 45 minutes, but we practiced church. And invariably, you know, there'd be Caleb, and he'd be sitting there, and he's, you know, he's kind of getting the routine of things, and Hannah, she's squirming all over the place, you know. Church. We're having church. And Bible, all right? Respect. Sit still. And pretty soon they got it figured out. They didn't get it figured out. But you know what? We had all that practice time. And we didn't do it so that everyone at church would say, wow, the kids are so behaved. No, we did it. Why do we do it? Why is it such a big deal? Now, let me tell you something. You can teach your kids to sit still in church, and they can still die and go to hell, right? So it's not a big deal, because sitting still is the ultimate goal. But when they can sit still, and they're not getting cross-eyed because they're so tired from staying up too late, when they can sit still and listen, they'll retain more. That's the goal. They'll get more out of it. I'm impressed because I know how lousy of a teacher and preacher I am. So I'm impressed when my kids have retained something. I'm like, praise the Lord, they got something out of that. They weren't just daydreaming. I'll be honest, and I think I'm not the only one. When I was a kid, it wasn't slats on the wall. It was rocks. It was river rock. And I'd sit there at fourth grade and count how many rocks there were, because I wasn't listening. Now, if I'd have had a parent that had said, what did the preacher preach about today? You know, I might have got the message. Now, eventually, I did get the point that I'm supposed to be paying attention. And, you know, that starts at home, though. And so we would teach our kids, and we'd have a prayer time at home. And some people call it family altar, your family devotions, a time together. How do you do that? Well, you make a definite commitment that you're going to do it. Make a plan and stick to it. And after you've made a plan, you might find out that we're going to have to adjust this a little bit. And it's okay. I mean, nobody's watching. It's just your family, right? So, oh, man, this isn't working out very well. You know, we had our devotions, but we showed up 30 minutes late to school or to work, or that's not going to work. And so you make a plan on what's going to work best. And some of you, it might not work in the morning. It might not be a good thing. It might be better to make it at the lunchtime or the evening. You know, whatever works well for your family. And I would encourage you to just make your family schedule as simple as possible. Someone said to me a while ago, said, Pastor, it's amazing how families are just worn to a frazzle, chasing everything down, running from this thing to this thing to this event to this event. And, you know, those sports programs, they're fun, but I think there's a limit to what's necessary and what's over the top. And, you know, my kids were in sports, but not everything. And we just decided what was good, what wasn't good, what would fit, what didn't fit. Not necessarily anything of it was bad, it's just it didn't work for us and it wasn't necessary. But I think some folks are just so wrapped up in the whole system that they don't realize how frazzled their families are. So work out a plan of having a short family time. Now, I've got a whole stack of books here. Because you might be saying, well, Pastor, I mean, how do I read the King James Bible to my four-year-old? You know? Well, you can, all right? I don't want to make fun of the King James Bible because you can. But I'll give you some pointers, some helps, because you know, it is a blessing when you have some tools and some things to help you along the way. And so, first of all, and I don't have one with me, but right now, Miss Wilma and Mr. Sam and even Mr. Pryor have papers that they're going to give to every one of the kids that are in class today. And those are take-home papers, all right? Well, those take-home papers are for them to, you know, review what the story was about. They have a little crossword, or they have a little puzzle, or they have some little activity. And they're really for mom and dad to review with the kids what they went through in the class time. We had four kids, and they were usually in four different classes. So what we did is on Monday, we did Caleb's paper. Then on Tuesday, we did Hannah's paper. On Wednesday, we did Joshua's paper. Thursday, we did Sam's paper. We covered half the week just going over the Sunday school papers that they got in their class. Just a simple way. When they were that high, that's what we did. Just simple things like that. And so those take-home papers, by the way, those things cost money. The church buys those papers, you know, use them and reuse them and recycle them. There's lots of different things. Now, as you get older, things will change a little bit. There's Mercy and Truth Publishers. They publish the tracks that we use, like the How to Get to Heaven from South Dakota and lots of those tracks. They publish a lot of things. They publish this right here. They publish these. These are really neat. These are just individual little booklets that are 31 different lessons. Now, why is it 31? Because there's usually 31 days in the month. And so Sam, he went through all these, but he decided not to write in them so that someone else could use them when he was done. And this is just a small, there's a huge stack of these, and they're really cool. I mean, there's animals in the Bible and how you can learn from just the characteristics of the animals, and that's what this bigger book's about too. This one's on sports, all right? And taking sports ideas and sports illustrations and biblical examples from there. There's characters from the Old Testament, characters from the New Testament, different people in the Bible that you can, and so you can sit down and read through it. And see, this is so that if you're like, oh man, I have no idea how to teach, this kind of just helps you walk through it. It's like training wheels. It just really helps you with that and makes it easier for you to come up with something. Attributes of God, the different attributes, His holiness, His righteousness, His love, promises in the Bible. Lots of neat studies. And I would encourage you, if you absolutely can't buy anything right now, I'd encourage you to use these, borrow these. But I would say that usually investing is a better idea, because you usually use what you invest in. If you get it for free, you don't use it. You know how that goes. My family has this whole, there's three volumes of these. And I think we have two or three in the library. I don't know if someone has one, then we have three. Otherwise, we only have two. There's a total of three sets. They don't print these anymore, but you can find them on the internet. These are called character sketches, and they're made up in different lessons. Like this one's on loyalty, and so there's lots of different loyalty lessons in here. And it starts out with an animal, and it gives you the cool creation science of the insect or the bug or the animal. And it shows how that God created them to be loyal, or God created them to be this or that and responsible. And then it gives you a Bible story. And we would split these up in 3 or 4 days, because it'd be too long to read it all in one day. So we'd split it up, and we'd use 3 or 4 days to go through that. Those are just different ideas. This is a teen devotional that our boys did. Sam did this, finished this just this last year. And this also comes from that Mercy and Truth. Now, when they get older and they're responsible enough to read the Bible on their own and do their own, and so they would go through it. And so even Caleb, who's out of the house, but he was home last week for Christmas vacation, he had his Bible out, and he was going through and reading his Bible. That's just a habit. Now, it didn't start when they were 20. It started when they were 4, all right? 3 or 4, sitting on the couch, practicing reading the Bible and having that time. Now, I admit that when they get older, things get a little bit different, a little bit more hectic. Schedules are a little hard to always go with. But the good news is that while they're all younger in the grade school age, they're all pretty much going the same schedule, all right? And it's easier at that time to set the examples, to set the habits, and to start something with them. But this requires you and I, as parents, to be able to have the habit and the character in our lives to maybe not do what we used to do at morning or at night, to not waste our time, to not sleep in ourselves, to prepare something, to be able to talk to them about something. And even now that my kids, and there's more, there's of course the daily Bible reading calendar, there's the monthly little thing that we hand out, and something for the teens here. There's a couple more books, there's Our Family Time with God. This is a whole year, and it's just every day of the year, 365 pages of a devotional. And there's different ones. There's this one that I think my wife was using, written by a pastor out in California. This one written by a guy named Harold Vaughn. I saw Dakota Pryor Abel had posted something that she is using the other day. There's just different things that you can use to help you as you read the Bible. You're reading a devotional that reminds you of some certain topics in the Word of God. That's the whole point here. Now, when they're older, they ought to be able to do it on themselves, or on their own. And so my kids, we don't sit down with our Sunday school papers and read them today. All right, they're all doing their own thing. All right, but in the younger years we did, and those were great years to practice sitting still. Ah, it's not time to get up, because that's how it works. What you expect out in public, you have to practice at home. And yeah, when I was first married, I had a a midnight shift that was lousy. But by the time we started having children, we had a we kind of had a daily routine. And if dad leaves early in the morning for work or something like that, it might not be the best to wake him up at 6 o'clock in the morning and expect him to get anything out of that, you know. But maybe better in the evening, maybe in the lunchtime hour. It doesn't have to be long, but it's what they call a family altar. Work out a plan with the Bible, with the Bible reading book, the little reading material, whatever it might be. Ask the pastor, ask someone for some help if you need help with that. Some of these things are free. Some of them cost money. And just start something. This is a new year. Start something. Just get into the habit of doing something. The devil wants to discourage you, and maybe the first time you try it, the phone rings, this happens, that happens, you forget something's on the stove, you burn the breakfast, whatever it might be. Lots of it, discouraging things will happen. But keep after it. Now, if you're older and you say, well, I don't have children, this isn't applying to me. Well, sure it is, because we're still supposed to be reading our Bibles for ourselves. And we should be challenged with the idea of just reading the Word of God and eventually not having to have the training wheels. I think some of those devotional things are very good and are a great help. And I have no problem as an adult reading through some devotional material. But let me remind us that everything that's written by man can have something missing or something added in that shouldn't be there. So reading the very Word of God itself is the goal here. We would even sing. Now, I'm not saying we had, you know, we didn't pass an offering, you know what I mean? But we would sing. We would have a little church service in the living room, you know, and we'd sing a little song, and we try to make it, okay. And so that little brain's going, oh, church. Oh, yeah, I'm expected to sit still, you know, and focus. And this is how we practiced focusing, you know, and sitting still. And then prayer. Having a time of prayer and maybe a prayer list. And then brief. Don't make it so long that everyone is bored out of their mind, but make it something that everyone will get something out of. Involve the whole family. If they're old enough to read, let them read. Let me tell you something. Even the public school teachers, who I just ridiculed, not the teachers, but the system, even they will tell you, you mean you read with your kids? They'd love that. They would love if more parents read with their kids. Well, guess who gave us a book to read with our kids? The Creator of the universe. And I'm telling you, when Hannah was just third grade, someone said, wow, your daughter reads well. Well, it's not because we have real smart, she had real smart parents. It's because we read, and of course, when you're reading it, you know, you can put some expression into it, and they'll realize, wow, and so they'll learn to read with expression, excitement, and interest. Reading with the children. That's the best way for kids to learn. That's the best way. And by the way, I said something about the King James Bible. You will get educated just reading those English words. It'll help you. Your vocabulary will pick up. We need to quit dumbing down everything for kids, all right? Now, I'm saying that some things need to be on their level, obviously. But we ought to keep the King James Standard because that helps them to raise the bar, and they get educated. I remember when Caleb used a big word, and there was a girl on the Sunday school van that we were riding, and I was driving the van, and he was sitting, and he used a big word. I remember what the word was, and she said, wow, you know, because it was a big word for his age, but it was a Bible word, and he had learned it and got to figure it out from hearing it in the Word of God. And then use variety. Don't get stuck in the rut, and keep it informal, open for suggestions, improvement, making a better plan. And don't be afraid to ask questions and ask for advice. I thought about lining up some of the dads in here and some of the guys in here and making them sit still and behave, but I didn't know if we could get that accomplished or not today. But no, seriously, it's just a time of, I think I would sit in the rocking chair and the rest of the family would sit on the couch, you know, and I would just give the lesson, and then I'd talk to Mommy, ask her questions, you know, and then ask Caleb questions. And I remember years ago there was a man that got saved, and we'd been praying for that man to get saved. Well, then he got saved. Hey, guess what? Mr. So-and-so got saved at church yesterday. And you know, wow. And so then it all becomes real, you know. And I'll be honest, I think probably you know, like Sam, Josh, I mean, they're folding their hands and they're bowing their heads and they're praying to somebody they don't really even know. They just know mom and dad talk about him. They don't know him personally, you know. I mean, I think of Grant, you know, little Grant, you know, he, okay, dad, mom, you think there's an invisible person named God, I'll go ahead and believe him too, you know. But eventually, hopefully, prayerfully, they'll really believe him. They'll really believe that he exists. And so that's what this is about. This is about having a family time at home, a family altar. And so let me encourage you with a few things just to, as we talk about, this is very random today, but I just want to encourage you with some ideas here and just reminders. We want to have a home, not just a family that goes to church, but a family at home that really understands and studies the Bible. And I know that we have folks in our church that they read the Bible together, and that's a blessing. That's a good thing. And of course, faith. Faith is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need to always emphasize the importance of trusting in the Lord, because how many families have problems? All of us. And so when we have problems, that gives us an opportunity to talk about our problem and how we got to trust in the Lord. I have to be careful, especially when in times past, I would talk about a financial need that we might have. And I would just say, hey, we're going to have to really tighten our belts. We're going to have to really pinch our pennies because we're really tight right now. And I think it was Joshua. He'd take that really serious. I mean, he's afraid to eat breakfast that morning. You know, he's afraid to eat lunch. He's afraid we weren't going to have enough money, you know. And but no, I was just, hey, we're just emphasizing our need. We have a need. We need to pray about that. We'll get, you know. And by the way, they always get taken care of. God meets those needs. But it's important that we have emphasized the need for faith and that it's something that we exercise daily. And we have a test coming up. Maybe somebody's got a big test. Something's going on in their life, and there's faith challenges and faith needs, and maybe there's a sickness. Maybe one of the grandparents are sick or not feeling well, or maybe someone's dying, and there's just all kinds of things that can challenge and strengthen our faith. I think also important in your time together that there's always gratitude, being thankful. I mean, just this last week, our family was finally together. It's been several months, and what an opportunity to just show and express our gratitude, our thankfulness, not only our family, but both sets of parents were together, and to be thankful and grateful for what God has done for us. How can we gripe and complain? How can we grumble? We should be able to sit there and count our blessings and remind ourselves of how scary it was back when and how God's brought us through, and to have that gratitude. And of course, the Bible reading, just having that systematic approach, no matter what it is, whether you use a tool to help you or whether it's just the Bible. Years ago, when I would visit my wife's family, and I wasn't even married to her yet, or shortly after we were married, we would go to the Schrock home, and it was very similar to do this when we were there, to systematic. My father-in-law would sit down on the couch with Proverbs or some other chapter, and every person in a row would read a verse. All right, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and we just go around the room and we just read all those verses until we finish the chapter. We did it at Christmas morning, and I asked my father-in-law to read, you know, 5 or 10 verses. He's so in the habit of doing it, he just read the whole chapter. And he commented and gave commentary on the whole thing. That's a simple way, you know. And guys, if you're scared about having a Bible time with your family, oh, I have no idea what to say. The book of Proverbs is a cool book because, first of all, it's 31 chapters in the whole book. And so 31 days, 31 chapters, a chapter a day. Very simple. And the cool thing is about Proverbs. Yeah, there's some stuff in Proverbs you're like, I don't know what that word means. But there's enough simple stuff in Proverbs that everybody can get something out of Proverbs. Because Proverbs is the book of wisdom. And so a great Bible reading family book is the book of Proverbs. And I used to read Proverbs every month as a teenager. I just read it, go back, start over February 1st, start over, read it again. Bible reading, and then fellowship. Did you know that you can have family fellowship? That means turn off the phone, turn off the screens, shut them off, and actually look at each other and talk to each other. It's an old concept, I know, but it works. Just fellowship. We had fellowship the other night when we were playing games together. That was fun. You know, that's a fellowship time, old-fashioned sitting at the table playing a game. People don't do that anymore. They don't know how to do it. I feel sorry for them. I love to play games, and it's fun. That's what we did as a family a lot. We did it when we had the in-laws and the outlaws with us. We did it by ourselves, play Uno, play Skip-Bo. The kids, I don't know Catan, so I don't play that game, but play Monopoly, play Wits and Wagers, or what was the other one? Scattergories, all kinds of different games that there are available. And it doesn't involve a screen. And you actually have to communicate with one another. A lot of times, especially when our kids were getting older, you know, we'd sit together, and the next morning Caleb's going to get up and he's going to go to college. He's going to drive an hour away and go to school. These guys are going to go to work. Hans going to go to work. These guys are going to high school, whatever it might be. I'm going to go drive a school bus. We'd sit there at night, and we'd just start talking. And it got to be a joke because, oh, here's Dad. We're supposed to pray and go to bed, and Dad wants to talk. Well, that's, you know what? I want to talk for a little bit. I want to visit with everybody and find out how everybody's doing. I read something in a biography. By the way, Christian biographies are good to read. True Christian stories. Brother Bill gives out lots of stories about different missionaries during Vacation Bible School. And good biographies are something else you can use. Well, I was reading this biography the other night, and I was reading about how that this preacher, his name is Mordecai Ham, his father would sit them all down at night and say, "Now, is there anything that you've done today that you need to confess and ask God to forgive you for?" Whoa. Now, that's a good habit. I think it's a good thing because it reminds everybody that God's watching, you know, that God's God. And it puts the individual on notice that shouldn't be something we go to bed with and not taken care of and confessed. And so there's lots of good things that you can do in the evening before you go to bed. And of course, my wife was very, very, and still to this day, is very adamant about praying with everyone before we go to bed. Last night, we weren't all together, but she got Caleb on the phone, and we all prayed over together, some of us over the phone, some of us in person, and praying together before we went off to bed. That's a blessing. It can also be a testimony time. As I was saying earlier, there was a man that got saved. Let's not forget to praise God for the blessings. We should stop and praise the Lord when an answer to prayer finally comes. Woo, what a blessing. What a testimony time that can be. And to share some good thing that happened, how God took care of a need or did something amazing. To talk about people getting baptized in church and people getting saved. What a blessing to, and that's a testimony time to stop and talk about the Lord. Listen, you start doing all this day after day after day, and pretty soon little Grant's going to believe it, you know. Pretty soon little Aaliyah and little Lily, they're going to believe this person really exists, and he does answer prayer. And by the time they're a teenager, they believe that God exists. They believe that God is for real. They trust Him. They know He exists. And so evening prayer and prayer requests and praises and testimony. If you were here Wednesday night, I was talking about meditation and the importance of meditating on the Word of God. I think music is a huge thing. And unfortunately, we allow our minds to play all kinds of music that's no good to us. I never did encourage my kids to have earbuds or earphones. First of all, I don't know what they're listening to when they have those things in. Secondly, I don't know if what they're listening to is good stuff. All right? Now, I do like music, and music is great. And Patch the Pirate is an awesome channel to have good music, and not just Patch, but other things. And as they get older, other music. And now, of course, you can have it on your phone. And so the other day, Joshua got a new phone and he was downloading lots of music into his phone. And that's a great way to encourage yourself and be reminded with good meditation, good music, good things, things that will remind you of God's Word and what the Word of God has to say. There's lots of things that will steal your attention and the world will try to use to rob you of your time. And it's just a waste of meditation. But good music, I want to encourage you with that. Go through your music library. Go through your movie library and see what really helps your home and what doesn't. And see what really helps your personal life and what doesn't. What really is a blessing? What really is something that Jesus would have you to have in your ears and in your eyes? Because those are the two channels that get into our mind in meditation. These are different things that I want to bring out to you today and to remind you of things. Now, I think that fathers are responsible. And if there is no father in the home, then mom, take it upon yourself to be responsible, to have that time. A lot of people do it while they're having a meal. Maybe the breakfast meal, the lunch meal, or the supper. And you take the time, pull out the Bible, read, discuss something, talk about something while you're eating. Now, that's a foreign concept to a lot of people, too. Most people don't eat together at a table anymore. Most people eat in front of a TV. Or they just grab it and go, or they, you know, eat it on the run. But sitting down and talking and communicating and then having the time to read God's Word together. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Let me encourage you with that today and challenge you in those areas. There were times where we had to take care of serious business. Maybe we had something going on and it was something that involved the family, and so we had to take care of an issue. There are times where we would use an example, at times that we would use something to teach. There were times where maybe it was public knowledge. It wasn't something private. It was public knowledge. Maybe there was someone, they've got their car all smashed up and because they were drinking alcohol and driving around drunk, driving their car. And say, hey, look, you know what? This is just, and you show the smashed up car, you show the dents and the creases down the side. That's visual illustration for a young person. And we're not trying to make fun of the person. That person needs prayer, and we should feel sorry for them. But that car, that's a nice car. It costs money. And look what's happened to it. It's gotten all scraped up and bent. Why? Because they have a problem. And to teach them that alcohol is bad news. And talk about some of those things. So-and-so's daddy had to go to jail. Or what? Why? Well, because... It wasn't gossip time, but it was public knowledge. It was something they were going to find out about anyway. There was issues that would come up. There was different things. Kids would get in a fight, get in a squabble, whatever it might be. It was times for us to talk about those things. Again, finances, to use the opportunity to illustrate the importance of that. We would talk about tithing with our kids so that when they got to be of any age at all and they were able to start earning an income, they had it in their habit, in their heart, to just go ahead and be tithing and giving. On having that a part of their life as well. I want to encourage you to have a family daily time. And as you get older and it's just you and the wife again, you and the husband, to still have a time where you're reading God's Word and discussing together what the Word of God says and talking about those things together, even as a couple. But with the young people, especially as those early ages in the grade school years, I was so impressed upon my heart that I would train my kids to get a developed habit and to learn to read so that by the time they got to be 14 years old, they were reading God's Word. If we go to Bible camp, they always expect the campers to have a Bible time in the morning. And, you know, some campers aren't used to that. No one's ever made them sit down and read the Bible, you know. But if your child was used to it, then that was just part of the routine. It was just a duh, that's what we do. I want to encourage you to make it a duh, that's what we do. That's what just part of our life. It's part of our daily routine. It's what we do. It's how we operate. And of course, the Bible reading calendar gives me the opportunity to read through the Bible in a year. But of course, we're not doing it just to say we did it, but that we're feeding on the Word of God and letting God's Word speak to our heart. And you say, well, I don't know for sure how to do it or what to do, or I have questions about this. Don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to ask Miss Wilma, ask myself, find out, you know, some ideas or how could I do this better. They won't sit still. Boy, you know, Proverbs says, you know, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from them. Well, Proverbs says that. And you know what? You should blame it on the Bible. You should tell Johnny and Sally, look, the Bible says this is what we have to do. Spanking is in the Bible. That same God that they keep talking about says spanking is something. Whoa. But eventually they realize he's right. And he's holy and he's perfect, and everything he says is the right thing to do. So then when you get to be an older parent and your kids are older, they say, wow, your kids are pretty impressive. And you say, well, it's not me. It's just God. But we took the time to have personal family time. We emphasized the more important things and de-emphasized the less. We took time out to read God's Word. We don't have television in our home. We have a flat-screen TV with a machine that plays movies or whatever. But we don't have television. There's no sense paying someone to have that stuff piped into your house anyway, besides of all the wasted time that it is. But we do on occasion have entertainment, and we do have times on a screen. But there's time where we set all that aside, and we have time in the Word of God and allowing God's Word in different ways and different channels to speak to our hearts. I want to encourage you with that today and throughout this year, that you'll take time in the Bible yourself, that you will learn to read God's Word. You recognize someone who is spiritual, it's someone who is scriptural, someone who knows God's Word and who reads it on a daily basis. If you don't read the Word of God and know the Word of God, you might think you're spiritual, but it could be a whole different kind of spirit. Be sure that your nose is in the book and that your children and your family all together are reading and learning God's Word as a family. TV is a babysitter, and a lot of people use it as a babysitter. There's a whole lot of junk on TV, but even if it isn't bad on TV, there's a lot of stuff that it just becomes just a waste of time. Don't let it be a time waster for you. I'm not saying never have anything that they watch, but be careful that you aren't just using electronic means that the world pumps out instead of letting God's Word be the teacher for your family. It teaches discipline, and it teaches a better character. And I know, I've seen it work, and I know it's true. I'm out of time, and we'll pick up one more thought next week, and then we'll have our guest speaker after that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for devotion time in the parents' and grandparents' lives, how that you impressed upon my father-in-law, my parents, to read the Word, to study the Word, to have just simple time of devotion, just a time of a thought, just one thought, something to think about, a reminder of things in our life, confession that we need to maybe take care of, things that are wrong between us or wrong in our own heart. Thank you for giving us opportunity in this great country of freedom to have family time with a Bible. Help us not to waste that time. We have so many things pulling for our attention. Help us to turn those things off and turn away from those things, and to take time to just read and discuss and study your Word, and or just meditate. Pray for the young people in our church, for the young parents, that you help them to be challenged and to remind them of the importance to set the schedule, to watch the clock, to not stay up too late, to not choose the wrong activity at this certain time. Help each one of them to have a good schedule for their family. Bless them as they put their foot forward for you, that you'll give them a better work schedule, a better opportunity to raise their children. I know you want them to. And so help them to do all that they can do to be a good home, a good family unit, a good home that's centered around your Word. And I know it'll strengthen our church when we have strong families, and I know it'll strengthen our community. So help us to follow your Word and to teach our children to do the same. In Jesus' name, amen.